You know, most of our podcast interviews are fun and entertaining in nature, right?
Oh, yeah. They're light. Try to keep it light.
Exactly. And engaging, too, for that matter. But this next one is a more serious tone to it.
Yeah, it does. It does.
And it's more informational, and I think it's something that everybody needs to hear.
Yes.
Hello, this is Brian White. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 36 of Celebrity Soul Speak with Brian and Renee. Interviews from the other side. Junior Seau, Aaron Hernandez, Dave Durian, Paul Allen. My wife, Renee, is a spirit communicator. She speaks to those on the other side, and I've been a radio personality for over 50 years. The other side established communication with us because they wish to stay in touch with this dimension. They are our teachers, the invisible knowledge that helps us on our way. They have much to share and hope that those who listen will reflect on their messages.
This interview is recorded live. There are no edits, except in places where there is a long silence. We eliminate the silence in order to make the show a reasonable amount of time. Football is the sport that has long been associated with a degenerative brain disease, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, better known as CTE, which is believed to be caused by repeated blows to the head. Symptoms can include memory loss, confusion, depression, and dementia. Problems can start years after the hits to the head occurred. The Journal of the American Medical Association published a study in their July issue. A neuropathologist who examined the brains of 202 deceased football players, aged 23 to 89, from every position on the field, found that 177 of the players, or 87%, suffered from CTE. Of the players with severe CTE, 85% showed signs of dementia. And that's just football. Well, Joe Namath may have found the cure. After Junior Seau committed suicide in 2012, Namath became concerned about his own brain health. He made extensive use of hyperbaric oxygen therapy, or HBOT, a process in which patients climb inside small chambers to breathe pure, compressed oxygen, flushing cells with extra energy. The Food and Drug Administration has approved HBOT to treat 13 conditions, including burns and carbon monoxide poisoning, but not brain injury. Indeed, while various celebrities, most notoriously Michael Jackson, have sought additional therapeutics from HBOT, the FDA recently issued a consumer update that warned, "Do a quick search on the internet and you'll see all kinds of claims, for which the device has not been cleared or approved." Thanks, FDA. We love you. Dave Durian says, "Hi, Renee. Thank you for taking up this cause. It's certainly one that is worthy. The word needs to get out." Tell me what you want people to know, Dave. Junior Seau stepped in. "Hi. Thank you for caring enough to talk to us. You seem sincere, and we appreciate that you would be interested to do this." Paul Allen, stepping forward. "Young lady, thank you. We appreciate what you're doing, and we will do what we can from here to help you spread the word." So let's talk about what we can do to raise awareness that there may be a cure for CTE. As a point of reference, I have a hereditary neurological disease that causes my brain to malfunction. I have fibromyalgia and migraines, which cause brain fog and pain that makes it hard to think sometimes. I have no idea what the effect of CTE feels like, but I believe it's probably very similar to what I experience. My disease is incurable, but if there was a way to reverse the damage and eliminate the symptoms of CTE, I can't believe that it isn't being utilized. Sorry, soapbox moment. Junior says, "So sorry that you have to go through this and still try to function. I know what it's like to live with pain, both in my head and body, and not being able to think. I know what it's like. I give you credit. I took the easy way out. I give you credit for fulfilling your contract, despite what this is doing to you." Thanks, Junior. Aaron Hernandez, is that you? Aaron says, yes. It's never easy to live with not only pain, but it's all the other things to it. Your brain controls everything. And when it's not working properly, you don't think properly. You do things that you wouldn't normally have done. And if we didn't seek to find cures to fix things, then what would be the purpose? You don't just get dumped down here and you're on your own. We're supposed to be learning and growing. And medicine and things like that are all part of it. Yes, your life plan may say that you have this disease or you have this disability, but that doesn't mean that you carry that through the whole term. If humanity comes up with something, which you know is given from the universe, then we have to embrace it instead of ignoring it. And that's what's happening. I just lost my mind. And that's how it was supposed to be. When I was in the moment there, football and partying, that's just the way it was. I didn't know about the afterlife and how you're supposed to live your life and contract. And you're supposed to do this and that and the other and free will. I didn't know anything like that. But when I got here, I realized it's such a conflict because you want to do the right things in your life, but you just get thrown into other things. And I think that if I wouldn't have had these injuries, I wouldn't have done what I've done. I wouldn't have lived the life that I lived. Nobody ever told me the things that everyone should know about life and the afterlife and how to live the right way. Why is this such a secret too? That's a good question. Thank you, Aaron. Dave, what do you think that you could help us with? What do you think that we could do or say to give you what you need to put this out there? I think what we could do is just talk about it. Talk about what it is, what it does to these people, and how Joe's recovery should bring to light that there's something that can be done, and it's not being done. Dave says, well, we know you have the podcast, and you've been interviewing people. We know that you are trying to relay the messages from us on this side to humanity. Let's just start talking. Paul said, I don't have the personal experience that Junior and Aaron have. I think it would be helpful if we talk to Junior and Aaron, and if Phil would like to come forward, it would be helpful to hear from them their story. And let's start there. Okay, who wants to go first? Junior, are you prepared to talk about what happened to you and bring it up? Bring up the decisions that you made and how you made them? Junior says, I just couldn't do it anymore. I knew that I wasn't myself. I knew that I didn't feel right. I knew that I didn't feel right. I knew there was pain. And I didn't want to go through the pain and suffering. I just decided that I just didn't want to. So I got a gun and I shot myself in the chest because I didn't want to hurt my brain. I wanted them to study my brain. I wanted them to figure out that this is a medical problem created by how I lived my life and made my money. And this isn't something that I purposely did, like to ruin my body. I didn't realize. I thought if I had a helmet on, I didn't realize that it was really useless against protecting my head from everything that was happening. I didn't realize how dangerous it was. I mean, I knew football is dangerous. Sure, you get hurt, but I didn't think that it was doing what it was doing. We thought we were protected. We thought the helmets absorbed it all and didn't realize it was destroying my brain. I just couldn't see myself spending the rest of my life in misery and what it was going to do to my family, having to look after me like an invalid. I just decided I didn't want to do it. Junior, you shot yourself in the chest with a gun. Can you take me from when that happened through the process of your death? Junior said, yeah, I guess I can. I don't know what that's got to do with anything, though. I understand. It really doesn't have anything to do with this discussion. But the more that people hear about the afterlife, the more I can get people to talk about their experience and that there's nothing to be afraid of, it's going to help humanity here relax. And once they realize that they're not dying, it's just a part of the bigger plan, they hear it from people like you. It gives credibility to what we're doing. Junior said, yeah, okay, that does make sense. Well, like I said, I shot myself in the chest because I didn't want to hurt my brain. I wanted them to study my brain. It was fast. I heard the shot. I felt enormous pressure, and the lights went out. I felt like I'd been sacked. I was only out for a minute, I think. I must have died right away, because the next thing I know, I was kind of looking at myself from outside of my body. And I just stood there, I guess you could say, trying to rationalize in my mind what was happening. And then I remembered that this was something that I made the decision to do. And I realized that I was dead. I felt regret because I knew that this was going to hurt the people I loved. But I also realized that it would be better to get it all over with than to have me live for however long, and the quality of life would not have been acceptable to me. Then I felt peaceful. I felt free. And my family was there. Some friends were there. And people that I didn't know, which I now know were my guides, were there. And some of my pets. And it just seemed like in the blink of an eye, I was not in that room anymore. It just felt like I blinked and I was somewhere else. It was a strange place. I wasn't afraid. I wasn't afraid because I just felt love and peace. And there was no fear. And God came to me and said that I had to forgive myself for what I had done. He said that there was no blame, and I was going to go where I needed to be to continue my life's journey, that this portion was over, that I was done with Earth, I was done with this part of being on Earth. And he said that there would be many discussions, there would be training, there would be education, there would be a whole new me now that I was home, and I could come together with all of the lives that I've lived and become whole. And I just had to love myself. I had to forgive myself, and I would be able to move forward. And then there was a party. There was a party, and all of these people welcomed me, people that I knew. Family, friends, family that I didn't even know I had from that lifetime and lifetimes before. And they told me just to relax and enjoy myself, and that we would start our work. And I had no other choice but to do what I was told, because I had no idea how it worked up here. And it's an amazing place. It's something that everyone will experience. It's something to be thankful for, that at the end of this journey on Earth, which is very difficult for even the prettiest, happiest, richest person. It's all the same. Everybody feels the same fears. And it doesn't matter how successful you are on Earth. Those fears are built into part of being human. So that's all gone. There's nothing here now but love and learning and talking to souls who are here that have so much to share. And there's no pressure. I don't have to make decisions until I'm ready to. And it's amazing. And there's nothing to fear about dying. Nothing. This is a fabulous place, and you will be very happy when your life there ends and you come here and realize that you worried your whole life about dying. But dying is the best thing that will ever happen to you. Somebody else can take a turn now. Thank you, Junior. Anybody else want to step up? Aaron, are you still here? Can you help me to relay your thoughts? Share what you want. What made you make the decision that you made? Aaron said, there was no decision. I wasn't going to spend my life in prison. I decided that wasn't what I wanted to do. I was Aaron Hernandez. Put me in prison? No. That's the arrogance that I had. I don't know if that arrogance came from my injuries or my use of drugs or a combination. I don't know. But I know that I did not consider anyone but myself in making that decision. I knew that I would not survive living like that for the rest of my life. And I know that everything wasn't over yet. I know that there were still legal questions, but I knew in the end that I wasn't going to get out. I did too many things, and I just wasn't going to live like that. So I decided to just end it. My situation was similar to Junior's, but my death was not instant. It was a slow death, and I started to see people before I actually died. I guess I was dying, and I just wanted it to be over. It was taking too long. And then I guess I died, because the next thing I knew, I was going through a tunnel, a bright, brightly lit tunnel, and there were people there. Some I knew, some I didn't, and they just told me to let go. It was okay, and I was home. And it was over. And I did see my body. I turned around and saw my body. And so, okay, I did feel like, Junior said, I felt that sense of peace and love. I didn't feel regret because I knew that I was no good for my wife and daughter. I knew that they would be better off without me. And it was such a relief to be out of that body. I felt free. I felt forgiven for what I had done. I felt loved. And I went to this place, and there were many people, and they told me that it was my welcome home party and that I would be joining the festivities. I did have to talk to God first, because I had ended my life before I was supposed to, and God forgave me. God told me that it was okay. God told me that sometimes the lifetimes don't go the way they're supposed to, because we have free will. Things don't always happen the way they're supposed to. And they do not always step in to save us when they see that our intentions are clear and that without divine intervention, we would not be persuaded to do something different. So after that, I was told to think about where I would like to spend. I won't say time, because we don't have time here. Where I would like to be until there were other things for me to do. And they said, just think about it. Envision in your mind where you would like to be, to think, to spend time to bring yourself together with your true self and your soul and all the parts that make it up. It all comes back together. So I chose the beach. Most people do, and I stayed there alone and contemplated, and I felt like the person that I was there, that person, was becoming part of something larger. I didn't feel that Aaron was just Aaron anymore. I felt that Aaron was just a part of, like I said, it's hard to explain, but you integrate your lives and you become part of the whole soul. I don't know how to explain that any better. And that's how it is. You go through thinking and talking with guides and family and friends, and then you eventually do things like classes. You go to other places outside of this universe and you mentor. That's part of our experiences, giving back, helping people everywhere, not just on Earth. There are many other entities other than humans that we become teachers for, and it's wonderful. There's no stress, only happiness. It's not like the experience on Earth, although it does resemble Earth in some ways. We're in the same space. We're in a different dimension. We're living right beside you, and we can step over into your dimension and visit. And it's very satisfying to see people who need your help and that you can help. I try to mentor all different kinds, especially those who are lost like I was. I try to help them find their way without them knowing where the help comes from. I want to help the athletes who are suffering needlessly. I think that's something that we can all agree would be a big benefit to humankind. Face it, football and the other sports are not going to go away. They cannot protect you. I don't care what kind of headgear. I don't care what kind of helmet. It's not going to keep you from doing this damage to your body. And Joe found a way to fix it. And it's being kept secret. It's not being taken seriously. And from here, we can see things are clear for us. It's not like being there where you have to test things and check and make sure and this and that. This works. And maybe it's because it's simple. It's not hard to do. It's just time consuming. All you have to do is just lay in this thing and you could be fixed. I don't understand why mankind will not embrace this. I don't understand why people aren't listening. Thank you for letting me talk. No, thank you, Aaron, for sharing. You know, Mr. Allen, I have not heard from you, sir. You're the co-founder of Microsoft with Bill Gates. Tell me, how did you become involved in this project? How do you fit in? Paul Allen said, I was always a big sports fan, and I could see what was happening, and there were too many of them coming over. And then we found out that Joe Namath had found a cure. So we decided to try to communicate and to bring this to the attention of the world. And it's not that easy. We can't just do things. We have to take into careful consideration what our actions will end up doing. We can't interfere. We can advise, but we can't interfere. So we decided that we see people like yourself and people who are open to speak to our side. And we decided that we would communicate through those who could hear us. And maybe through that connection, we would get enough people to make a difference, to make those who have the power to make the change, to make them see that they need to pay attention to this. It's difficult sometimes being here. It's difficult to know that you know, but you can't tell. You can't change things. You can help to guide, but you can't step in and change it. You can't. You can't do things like that. So that's how we kind of come together. It was just a conversation between sports fans. There are others, and we hoped with the names, me with Microsoft, and Junior, and Aaron, and Dave, who had a long career in broadcast, we hoped that hearing from us would help. But there are still so many down there that just don't believe in the afterlife. And it's like you said, you're trying to share this information with mankind when most of them don't believe that their life goes on. So you're really fighting two battles here. And we know that you have taken up the cause for John Lennon to talk about the mistreatment of celebrities. And we know that you are offering us the opportunity to communicate. And we are so thankful that there are people like you who are serious in your intent. Not everyone is. This is not entertainment. This is a cause. And I think that you know that you are attempting to help the world to see that we still have things unfinished. We still want to help. But it's difficult. It is getting better. There are more people becoming enlightened, and there are more people who are accepting this fact, and more people who are lending their voice like yourself. If people see that, it's becoming accepted, you know, that they will pay attention, you know, that they will follow the flock, so to speak. People are like sheep. So if you can, we can get enough people talking about not just the afterlife, but about Joe and his cure and other things. There are so many things that we can help with. There are so many things that we now have the ability to relate to mankind. There are so many gifts that we could give, but the audience is still so small. And it's just going to take time. I think in time, your people will become more accepting. We do see that there are a lot more people communicating with us. We do see that there are people who have good intent. And there are people who do not have pureness. Those are the ones that we don't talk to. Some people do. I choose not to. I choose to associate myself and this cause with people who are serious and want to help mankind and aren't trying to make money or fame for themselves. I see that you have spoken to Steve Jobs. Yes, sir, I did. What a great guy. In fact, Steve dropped in on me. I wasn't even prepared to speak with him, but he stopped in and wanted to become part of the podcast. And he said, there are many others that know about us that want to be part of this also, because they do have more to say, and that's why I'm doing this. Dave Durian, is there anything that you would like to put here? Is there anything that you'd like to say? Dave said, we get it. We get how you feel. We felt the same way. It's not something that is taught. It's not something that has been accepted. Even though it's a part of life, it's not life-death. It's life-death-life. We have been so wrong in the way that we've taught our children and their children. It shouldn't be something that you're ashamed of. It should be something that is embraced, and people aren't ready to accept it. just like they're not ready to accept UFOs and there is life on other planets, and they fear things that they don't understand. And it's up to us to help them to understand through things like this, through communication, through awareness. The more that we can talk about it, some people will get it. Some people won't. But we just do the best that we can. And we want to help you to be successful with your messages. And you know, there's not much we can do, but we'll do what we can. Thank you so much for inviting me to assist you. I will do everything I can to spread your message. This conversation is just getting started.
Thanks for joining us. Join Celebrity Souls Speak on Facebook at facebook.com/thecelebritysoulsspeak. And check out Renee's blog at commonsenseinwilmingtonnc.blogspot.com. Sense spelled C-E-N-T-S.